Hello, one, and welcome to the show. Coming up, TripAdvisor names the Magic Kingdom the best theme park of all the closed theme parks. Splash Mountain sinks, and at the Animal Kingdom, we have a new baby Barbara Mandrell. Wait, that's not right. A new baby Mandrell. All that.
Glad you sound old.
Old and gay. All that, and the team is going to tell us about their craziest theme park experiences, some of the stuff they've witnessed by going to a theme park. From various locations around the internet, this is the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged, episode 1090 for the week of August 4th, 2020. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Dreams Unlimited Travel helping you plan the perfect Disney, Universal, Adventures by Disney, and cruise vacation. Visit us on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hi, everybody, and again, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us this week. My name is John Magi, and I'm going to be your host. And I am joined via Skype, well, not really all via Skype, by
I'm right here.
By Kevin Close.
Hi, everybody.
Denny Sunderley.
Hey there.
Corey Martin.
I'm trash.
Ryan O'Clavin.
Hello.
And our producer, Craig Williams.
Not going to lie, I really did not care for Corey's introduction there at all. So,
you know what? That was really the worst. Come on.
Can we complain about an uncomfortable workspace?
Exactly. Hello, HR.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's me. Can I complain to HR when it's me?
Corey stole my line, man.
Really? All right. So we got a bunch of stuff to cover this week. We're going to talk some news stories. And our discussion this week is based on a story that Zoe Wood wrote on the Diz about the craziest things she's witnessed at a theme park. And I've asked the team to gather up some ideas, and I'm hoping we have some fun stories to share with all of you. All right, so we're going to get started with the news. Denny has graciously agreed to read the news stories for me. So take it away, Denny.
All righty. So we're going to start with Jackie's story about that new Barbara Mandrell at Disney's
See,
Animal Kingdom.
See, even she
Kingdom.
Thinks it's Barbara Mandrell.
I get it. So Disney's Animal Kingdom welcomes colorful new baby Mandrell. A baby Mandrell seen above in the picture on the Diz was born July 25th, 2020 at Disney's Animal Kingdom at Walt Disney World. Mandrells are the largest species of monkey in the world, and they can be found in African rainforests where the habitat is disappearing due to deforestation and poaching. Dr. Mark Penning shared that the baby was born to first-time father Linus and mother Scarlett. Mom and baby are reportedly doing just fine while spending most of their time bonding. In fact, mom keeps the baby so close to her belly that the animal care team has not been able to determine whether the baby is a boy or a girl. Scarlett and the baby have already begun making short appearances in their habitat on Kilimanjaro Safaris, so if you ride the attraction, keep your eyes peeled. Additionally, coming to Disney Plus this fall is a brand new series entitled The Magic of Disney's Animal Kingdom, where viewers will get a one-of-a-kind look into the daily operation of the advanced animal care and veterinary facilities, not only at Disney's Animal Kingdom, but also at the Seas with Nemo and Friends in Epcot. And there's a video in the story, so if you want to see really cute baby mandrel footage, please click on that.
It is really, really cute.
She got way more out of it than I thought she would.
Is that the same monkey that's in The Lion King that holds up the baby?
Rafiki. It certainly Simba. Looks like Rafiki.
That one.
Yeah. It looks like Rafiki.
I really know my cartoons, don't I? What's that thing that holds up the thing?
It holds up the thing.
Yeah.
It does. It looks like Rafiki.
I just want to say thank you to the Circle of Life at Disney's Animal Kingdom. You really gave us all the news stories during the temporary closure. You kept us afloat with the new babies being born. So exactly.
It must have been fun for them, though, with everything going on, having, you know, being able to concentrate on something like this, something so great, you know, going to work, so fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been concentrating on hurricane snacks that way.
Right. Any excuse, right?
That's perfect. All right. Second news story for today. Walt Disney World Swan Hotel officially reopens. Florida residents and pass holders can save up to 30%. The Walt Disney World Swan Resort opened to guests last Wednesday, giving those looking for a getaway another hotel option at Walt Disney World Resort. The Swan guests can enjoy the resort's signature dining options with physical distancing, including sushi at Kimono's and the Taste of Italy at the award-winning Il Mulino New York Trattoria, one of the two. Other dining options include a full-service breakfast at the park-themed Garden Grove, poolside dining at Splash, and grab-and-go food for those on the go from Java. Amenities include multiple pools, swan paddle boats, and a variety of recreational activities, including the resort's private white sand beach and health club. The resort offers convenient walkable access to both Epcot and Hollywood Studios, as well as Disney's Boardwalk and its restaurants and entertainment options. Additionally, all Walt Disney World Swan guests receive complimentary bus transportation to all four Walt Disney World theme parks, as well as complimentary parking with their own vehicle at all four theme parks as well. Now, to promote the health of guests and cast members, the hotel has implemented a new set of protocols, including enhanced cleaning, physical distancing, and requiring masks in public spaces. For a limited time, Florida residents and Walt Disney World annual pass holders can save up to 30% off of regular rates. And then it's also noted that you can visit Dreams Unlimited Travel for further details, official sponsor of the Diz, and can receive a quote by contacting them.
Excellent. Point of clarification, just want to make sure folks know the Swan is open. The Dolphin is not as of yet. They do not have a date set for when they're going to start taking guests. And also, I want folks to know, too, that I just want you to be careful that when you do get a quote or you see a price for the Swan Dolphin, they do have a resort fee. It's like $30 a night resort fee. So just make sure you take that into consideration. A lot of times people get that nightly quote and say, oh, this is great. And then at the end, they say, why is my total so high? And that's because of the resort fee that they charge.
I really
do get free parking.
I just like resort fees so much. You know, I don't need the paper. You know, I know it's a way for them to get more money. But can we go back to Kimono's social distancing in Kimono? So like two people? That's like great. You know, all those chefs, all to you. And it's probably the only way I will do karaoke is with a mask on. So I think Kimono's is the place.
Just you and the chefs?
Just me and the chefs and my own karaoke stage.
And all the sushi.
I think we would prefer it. With his mask on.
Right.
The way I'd like to go see.
Sure.
I might venture after watch Corey and the chefs. And Kimono.
I was going to say, we need that vlogged. Okay. Right.
Social distancing and the new stuff that's going on all seems really good in theory, because you always think, oh, there's not going to be anybody there. It's just going to be us. And I think sometimes we over-romanticize that.
Then you realize that they all have a doorway that you all have to pass
through. Exactly. Or pass by somebody else.
True. All right. Third story. Here we go. Tom Bell let us know on the Diz that TripAdvisor's Traveler's Choice Awards has named Magic Kingdom top amusement park. In TripAdvisor's 2020 Traveler's Choice Awards, the Magic Kingdom was named the top amusement park in the world, knocking off Universal's Islands of Adventure, which held the top spot for the last 5 years. TripAdvisor says that they pulled together all of the reviews, ratings, and saves from their readers and use that information to celebrate the best of the best. In fact, one TripAdvisor reader suggested, if you can only see one park, it should be the Magic Kingdom. In the rankings for the United States, Islands of Adventure falls to number 2, with Disney's Animal Kingdom coming in at number 3. Disney's Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach came in 1st and 2nd in the U.S. water parks. And to round out the top 10 for the Traveler's Choice Awards, we've got number 1, Magic Kingdom, Islands of Adventure at number 2, and Animal Kingdom at 3, Universal Studios Florida at 4, Hollywood at 5, Dollywood at 6, Disneyland Park at 7, Disney's Hollywood Studios at 8, Silver Dollar City at 9, and Disney California Adventure at 10. And Epcot did not make the top 25.
He's right. Wasn't his gator in.
Dad.
Epcot didn't even make the list.
No, it's
Dollywood.
When's the last time? I haven't been to Dollywood, and like I was a little kid, but you know.
When was the last time we were at Silver Dollar City?
Last week.
I think it's next to the $5 and under store, but I'm not quite sure. 192.
Denny, you do great reading the news.
Oh,
you really do.
I appreciate that.
It would take me forever.
I sucked at it.
I was just going to say the other guys.
I'm just saying she's great. You know, some other people are good, but not great.
Oh, thank you.
Claps for Denny. What do we think about that list? Do we agree with that list? I know we're all upset over Epcot not being on there, but do we agree
to get over it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put Disney California Adventure at 10. I think that's a bit harsh. I love DCA personally.
But yeah. I feel like that should definitely be higher on the list. I don't
above
know.
Above Silver Dollar City?
Well, Disneyland should be above Dollywood. I don't think that's a weird.
Yeah, right?
It's weird that Magic Kingdom would be number 1, but Disneyland is like number 5 or 6 or something.
Well,
and
it's 7.
Mm-hmm. It all comes down to who are the weirdos who are actually like reviewing these theme parks on TripAdvisor. Like, I know lots of people who review like, oh, this tour that I booked at this place or this tourist location or this restaurant. But I've never heard of someone being like, let me rate this entire theme park on TripAdvisor and really make sure that people know about this Magic Kingdom park if they haven't heard about it before.
Do you think anyone's going to TripAdvisor trying to think, which theme park should I go to?
Exactly. They're not.
Yeah, Dollywood. You know, 8 reviews written by Jolene.
Like, I.
Oh, cute. Very cute.
It's so weird. Like,
I think that's racist, but I'm not sure. Yeah. It might be, but I'm not quite sure.
It's Dolly's song.
It's just really weird. Like, you get on TripAdvisor when you find yourself in a city that you don't really know that much about and you need to plan something last second. I don't think you show up to Orlando or California and wonder, like, what is there to do in this location tonight?
They say the Silver Dollar place is pretty good. Maybe we should go there over this other, what is it called? Disney?
Does it ring a bell? I use TripAdvisor when I'm going to a city where I'm not familiar with a hotel.
Right,
and I do see what's rated well in my price range. I mean, I can't imagine going to Disney or TripAdvisor and think, should I go to Paris?
Right, I love, especially for restaurants. You find your hotel and then what's in walking distance, and let it guide you, because you can set all your criteria just perfect. And I trust TripAdvisor. I trust real reviews.
Yeah, see, for restaurants, I always go to Yelp.
Mm.
What's the best breakfast in this place?
You can't trust Yelp super well, though, because if you are a business owner and you're not paying Yelp, they filter the results differently. So if you are getting too many 5-star reviews, they consider it spam unless you're a premium account.
Sneaky. Yeah. Well, it's never led us wrong. I will say
I've always done well.
Yeah. So
Simply Delicious in over by Port Canaveral is a Yelp find.
Hmm.
It's so good. Places. It's simply delicious. It is. All right. Here we go. 4th and final news story. Splash Mountain ride vehicle sinks, causing delay in opening. Guests at Magic Kingdom who rode the Splash Mountain attraction on Sunday were shocked as their log boat started taking on water rather quickly. The video below that was shared was what was shared on social media by Sky Laringsall shows a bit of the incident. So Jackie embedded the tweet that just shows the fact that this boat's going down. And you can hear the cast member in the distance as well during the video. It says, according to reports on social media, the attraction reopened late, then closed again briefly this morning. This was yesterday. As of the time of this post, the attraction has a posted 30-minute wait time.
Was it one boat or all of them?
It was one.
One.
Mm-hmm. It was one boat.
Yeah, but it's underwater. It's like it was all the way underwater. And I think the big thing that it wasn't just the boat sinking, it was the cast member yelling at the guests that they shouldn't have gotten out of the boat. And I want to be like, there's no way it was safer for them to sit in, I don't know how, like 3 feet of water than to get out. What if there was electricity? Yeah. Like, what if there's a current that's running through for some reason? I know there isn't, but like, I also like their cell phones and belongings are all on them, right?
What if you had your good Jordans on? I mean,
God forbid.
I'd be out of that thing.
You take those off and put them in a bag before you get in that ride. Yeah,
you know, Disney must be like, really? What next? You know, our vehicles are sinking now. You know,
first of all, I was shocked. I was shocked at how much water there was. Like, I thought, okay, so the boat will go down a couple inches. It was like submerged in the water.
Yeah.
And then I was surprised by there was two people, and one person was on a door. And the other person wouldn't let them on the door. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen.
That's what you get for throwing your jewelry in the water.
Imagine if they'd stayed in there and another boat came up and hit them or something like that. I think about there were so many options there. And I love that cast member just seemed very unfazed by the sunken boat and was just like, please remain in your car next time. Next time this happens, stay in your car. And you're like, dear God, I hope it never happens again.
Pinch your nose.
We're going to play Marco Polo.
Mm-hmm. When the T-Rex gets out, you stay in the car. That's what the kids did.
Perfect. So you can find these news stories and a ton more if you go to disneyinfo.com. If you'd like other updates and news and information, just head there.
Okay.
The reports of this boat sinking were kind of like a cruise ship had gone down. It's 2.5 or 3 feet of water. I understand Rhino's concern, but you're in 3 feet of water. You can stand up.
Yes, we are happy that everyone survived. No souls lost.
Now they're putting life jackets on people.
Well, I mean, when I was a kid, somebody died on It's a Small World. So I sometimes I think about that, but like it is possible anywhere. The boat crushed the person. So I have had too many traumas immediately after leaving a Disney park. Somebody dies. It seems to be a recurrence in my life, which is very scary. So I don't know. Just, you know, it's one of those things, right? You just like, I don't know. No ride is safe.
Yeah, do not get out those boats. No matter how much you want those quarters at the bottom of the water, do not go out.
All right. Thank you, Denny, for the news. Thank you, Rhino, for bringing us all down.
You're welcome.
let's go on. Let's go on to some housekeeping. Anybody got any housekeeping they want to talk about?
I do. I had mine's more show and tell, so it's not really a sales pitch. So it's show and tell. And I'm sorry for everybody listening. You're going to have to tune in and check it out. All right. Look, Give Kids the World mask. We have all proceeds go to Give Kids the World. They need it right now. And look, I am going to try it on.
Check it out. Is it upside down on you? I can't tell.
Wait. Okay. Yeah. Everything's backwards. I'm looking. Wait, I do. Yeah. Y'all. I'm looking at my reflection. Yeah, check it out. I love the way it looks. It has a very stylistic look to it. And if you want to tighten it, it comes with these little tighteners. You can strap behind the back and a filter if you want to slide that in.
That would made so much sense to me if you want to tighten it. You know those little straps that go around your ears? Mm-hmm. Just twist them once.
Crisscross them.
Crisscross.
Yeah, there's all types of ways. And you know, the more and more we're wearing masks, everybody's going to find their certain fit and what feels comfortable with them. But these do follow all the guidelines that Disney's requiring you have. So I'll show a few more. We have, you know, your Disney Unplugged logo. We have like this, you know, something Disney understated.
Epcot inspired.
Disney fan.
Cute.
Keep the knees in the wrapper because they're just easier to display. Disney fan. They sent me a bunch. Magic Your Band. Julie already claimed this one. Oh. Sleeping Figment. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Will did that. Awesome job.
I got the Small World.
If you're a fan of the monorails, we have old school Diz Unplugged logo. Ooh,
classic Diz Unplugged.
The thing about these, classic, I'm into old school, so I keep using old school. The cool thing about these designs is that you can personalize them. And if you don't like the way that logo looks, you can adjust it yourself. You can rotate it. Julie wears this one a lot. She loves this one. It just looks cool. But there's tons and tons. Excuse me?
How much are they?
$15. That includes, it's free shipping and personalization and a filter and the adjusters.
And the Give Kids the World one, all that money goes to Give Kids
the World. All the proceeds goes to Give Kids the World. I'll showcase that one again. Beautiful design. Like it really is. Peter Will did an incredible job on this. And they had the Magic Band. They had the Magic Band covers to match. So if you
gladly pay you Tuesday.
There you go. But okay, that's it. Magic Your Band. We have links. Find it.
And every one of the masks come with the extra filter that goes inside the little pouch.
They do. It comes wrapped up like this. Yeah. And you can buy extras and also these adjusters. Everyone comes with the adjuster. So you might be able to talk. Ferris is a little weird about his ears, things behind his ears. So I haven't had a chance to try it on him. But Finley loves them. It works for her.
Staple gun.
Yeah, right. So,
thank you, Corey. Anybody else have any housekeeping?
I do. Just wanted to mention Magic Candle Company has a lot of new stuff going on that they've introduced recently. And I just wanted to highlight a couple real quick. They have just recently added a magic diffuser. So if you're into the scented oils, rather than maybe burning a candle or, a tart in your house, they have a brand new magic diffuser that's available on their site. And also they've got the new French Riviera scent and the hand soaps and the hand sanitizers that we've talked about a lot recently. So if you're looking for anything that helps you connect with Walt Disney World while you're away, I mean, Magic Candle Company is just a great resource, a great outlet for that Disney fan just moment in your house. So make sure to use Disney Info, the discount code Disney Info, if you want 15% off of your order.
Did you say if you don't want to burn a tart?
Yeah.
If you don't want to have a tart in your tart warmer. Mm-hmm.
Is that what they're called? Tarts?
Yep. A wax tart.
I've heard that expression. Mm-hmm. For candle.
You were thinking like Plymouth, Massachusetts kind of thing. Burning Mensatake.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I've heard, and a tart that you eat. No, you don't want to burn those tarts, that's for sure. So.
Did you ever see that video on YouTube where like the dad's holding a kid in a bucket and right in front of the TV, like in front of a POV of a ride, and it looks like so you could do that with Splash Mountain, have a little candle lit and have somebody hold, you know,
and then you drop them at the end in the water. That with,
but you know, somebody's gonna have to try.
Get a kiddie pool, but just sink you right into it.
Yeah. Just get out.
And then somebody stand behind you screaming at you.
Stay in the bucket. Don't get out of the bucket. All right. Any more housekeeping out there?
I have one too. For anybody who is a Patreon supporter, I tried something new over this last week and did like a little movie club. And so I want to do this again, but we're going to say what movie we watch. And then everybody in the $5 and up tier, I'll post that to you and you'll get access to like the video, which is like the thoughts and feelings of everybody. If you're in the $10 and up tier, you get to partake in a live stream of that like review of the movie. And we did that last night. So it's on Patreon now. If you want to check it out for Captain Marvel, patreon.com/disunplugged. So that's anybody in the $5 and up tier can watch the live stream now. It's anybody that's in the $10 and up can participate in it. So that's that.
Are they watching you watch the movie?
No, it's just I'll tell everybody what movie we're like end up voting on what movie we're going to watch. And then everybody watches it and they'll leave their comments in the section about what they thought about the movie. And then I'll say what I thought and then read what they thought and stuff. So we don't watch the movie. It's like a breakdown of the movie afterwards. I can't legally watch the movie with people, so I don't want to do that either.
Like book club.
Yeah, like a book club. Yeah, I just thought this would be easier with Disney Plus and everybody being stuck at home. So that'd be fun.
Very cool. Excellent. Any other housekeeping? All right. I just want folks to know, of course, it's 1:30 and we're getting a storm here in St. Cloud, Florida. Is grumbling in the distance. So,
and he's a Yorkie somewhere underneath me growling at me.
So I'm not happy about it. So if you lose us, I apologize, but we hope we're going to be okay for a while. All right. So coming up, what we're going to do now is we're going to have a discussion. Team is going to have a discussion based on a blog that was written on the Diz by Zoe Wood. I don't know how to say her name. I apologize for that.
Zoe.
Is it Zoe? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's got like umlauts or something over part of her name. So I'm not really sure. So she's a regular contributor. I'm making Kevin though, so that's enough. So
she got a little hand motion for
umlauts. I did. So she's a regular contributor on the Diz, and her most recent article is Disney Confessional, The Craziest Things I've Seen at Disney. Now, I'm not going to read her story or spoil it. I think you all should go and read it. First of all, she writes very well. She's very, very descriptive. So she takes a great deal of time in setting up her stories and building to the story itself. So I want everybody to go out and experience that for themselves rather than me trying to clumsily read them or tell you what she said. There's some really great comments from folks who shared their stories. We should probably get to a few of those and read those for you. But I've asked the team to come up with, if they have any, some of the craziest things they've ever seen at a theme park. And I'm going to start. I'm going to break the ice. Mine is actually not something I witnessed personally. Several years ago on the Diz boards, there was a story on the theme parks board that kind of became lore and legendary. And it had so many posts and so many followers. And I don't know what happened to that thread. I'm hoping that maybe folks can go back and find it. But in a nutshell, what happened was some folks were at Disney one day visiting the Magic Kingdom, strolling down Main Street, and they see a couple sitting on the curb. And they notice that the couple is eating something. And as they get closer, they notice that the couple is eating something out of tin cans. Kind of like you would see in an old-fashioned movie, like hobos eating out of tin cans, with the metal part propped up and a spoon. And as they got even closer, they noticed that it was cans of corn.
Creamed corn.
So someone brought cans of creamed corn to the Magic Kingdom, sat on a curb, and decided to have their lunch. And this became a huge thing on the boards. Where are the corn people from? Has anyone seen the corn people lately? What do they think the corn people are eating now? Do you think that they brought their own can opener?
Right, exactly. Honey, we had the sunscreen, we had the can opener, we're good.
How did they get past security? Right. So this became one of those things that just snowballed on the boards. And I don't know, Corey, if it got lost in a upgrade to the boards, or maybe it's out there somewhere on the internet.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on like I'm sure it's somewhere. It's nothing ever really dies on the internet. It's always somewhere in the bios.
And it wasn't even like name brand corn. It was like one of those generic ones that's just like a white label with the words creamed corn and big black letters on it.
Disney was expensive back then too, you know? Mm-hmm. What next? The Ramen noodle people? Ramen.
Raymond.
But yeah. Who's Raymond?
Everybody loves Raymond brand of noodles. Right.
But I think we even had like logos or something people used in their signature. Right. Of the corn people. They put like glasses on them and decorated them.
This again became sort of a something on the Diz boards that had a life of its own. And for many, many years, I remember it being on the boards. All right. So that's one of my stories that is not a personal story. I don't have it specifically. Kevin, I know you have a story to share of something crazy you've seen.
It sounds like there are elephants in our yard. Those are sandhill cranes.
Our sandhill cranes are
up against me. And they're trumpeting. Do you want me to start with Japan or should I start here?
No, start with Japan.
We were in Tokyo Disney. And one of the things that I became fascinated with was the fascination with Duffy. I had heard about this, but I was ill prepared. We were sitting in this little courtyard having a soda, and a man, I would put him at 50, came out of a store and he was dressed as Duffy. Dressed up as a vampire.
This was Halloween.
For Halloween. Not just dressed as Duffy. He was dressed as Duffy, dressed as a vampire. And he was carrying what I guess to be a 3-foot-tall, toddler-sized Duffy, dressed as a vampire. It was very meta.
Wow.
And he held it on his in the palm of his hand, and he was walking around. And he was showing Duffy the stuffed bear dressed as a vampire all of the different Halloween decorations and the characteristics of the building. And then he would stop and he would like, he looked at us and he spoke Japanese. So I don't know what he was saying, but he was talking about us to the stuffed animal. John would not let me follow him. I was fascinated. He not only carried around a 3-foot stuffed Duffy dressed as a vampire, he had the exact costume. It was next level.
We loved Japan at Halloween. It was really, really elevated. There were some great costumes there.
We were in Tokyo Disneyland, and the level of costume, Halloween costume, was breathtaking. I mean, there were people wearing sculpted Disney character shoes. I mean, they like were white Reeboks. These were sculpted out of foam.
Like Minnie Mouse's actual shoes they were wearing, like a character in the park. It was unbelievable.
But in Japan, one of the most popular costumes was Alice. And there were many, 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 many young Japanese women with long blonde hair. And it started to rain, and we went into a cafe pretty quickly and got a seat, and we were going to get some coffee. And all of a sudden, I don't know if this was the meeting spot, but there were like 45 young ladies all dressed as Alice. And they all sat there and kept flipping their hair around like Cher in the 80s.
It was the Alice Club. We're all going to be Alice.
And it was. There was a lot of this. And we just sat there mesmerized.
Very, very interesting. Anybody else have a story? Craziest thing they've seen?
Mine's more from working at Disney, when I working at Blizzard Beach. And I know I've told this story, maybe in pieces before, but I was a lifeguard summer 97 for the college program, came back in 98. And then when I came back here after college, I was a coordinator at Blizzard Beach. That's pretty much the job where you walk around and somebody loses their ring or something at the bottom of a catch pool. You have to go find it. Or somebody loses, whatever. You're the go guy. Somebody's drowning. You have to go there. You do CPR, the coordinator, walk around the park. Well, we had walkie-talkies and we have codes, typical codes, 10-4, 10, which is 10-20. Well, we had this one code and nobody wanted to hear it. The code was AFR. And if you're eating, I'm sorry. You might want to put it aside.
Put your Milky Way down.
Put it away. AFR stood for accidental fecal release.
Oh God.
That, so a lifeguard would be guarding the pool and they call and say, look, we got something floating in the wave pool. So I was the coordinator. So I had to get my gloves, had to get a little bag, go through the wave pool. Wave's still on now. And so you have this little AFR brown trout floating in the wave pool, and you're trying to keep guests calm, not letting them know what's really happening, that you're swimming next to a turd, But
you didn't have like a spooky thing
My hand.
Oh, God.
No, you put gloves on, but you had
a net?
No, we don't have a net.
A net. We call ours funicello. Don't you have a net? Yeah, she's over there.
Yeah, so the AFR was the code that nobody wanted to hear. And it happened more than you thought. And, you know, and that's why we enforce swim diapers so much, and not typical diapers. So it holds all that stuff in. But
yeah, it doesn't hold all that stuff.
It's happened many times on a Disney cruise ship too.
Yeah. But the good news is the kiddie pool of the Disney cruise ship is like, you know, they flush it and then everything goes away and they hose it.
Yeah, you can't do that in a way. See, we used to do that in the kiddie area because it's not a lot of water, it's all contained, and you can close it down for a little bit, cycle through, but you can't do that with the wave pool. You know, so we had to catch a lot of things by our hands with the like snakes. I was never taught how to catch snakes. We have a snake in the creek, and you know the there's about a dip like this, so the snake gets in but can't get out.
They're trying to catch it.
So you go trying to find the snake, keeping up with the current, but you just listen for the screams of all the gas, and so you know where that snake is, and then you have to stand there like a football player waiting for it and catch it. I was never taught, like, oh, by the way, you're a lifeguard, but you also have to do this and do this. All right.
Snake and poop wrangler.
Snake and
poop. Well, that's what, you know, hit us on your resume. That's why we hired you.
Snake and poop wrangler.
This guy knows how to deal with a lot of...
If this guy can scoop crap out of a swimming pool, he can certainly work with us.
That's right.
When I used to hire for a local timeshare company, I got an application one day, and his skills to be a customer service representative was that he was a munitions expert and he could sex snakes just by looking at them.
Nice.
He could tell what sex the snake was. I should have sent him to you.
Should have.
Anybody else have a gorilla or something that was just born? We can't even tell what it is. This guy knows. What do we have born? Rafiki.
Mandrel.
Well, that's because she's clutching it to her belly.
Yeah.
Pardon, Mandrel.
Who else has a story that you want to share?
I mean, I have a couple. I'll start with the lighthearted ones first, because there's some scary ones I've witnessed too. But I've seen a lot of
funny, crazy. Right?
Are you tell us about people dying?
Really?
Well, I don't think she died, but I did see a bus pull off of somebody. I was the first on scene when a bus ran over somebody at the Contemporary, and so my friend had to administer like the life support to her, and that was a pretty scary time. That was like a week before Christmas, and I got to see what Disney does when that happens, and that's also pretty scary. So
all right, let's try to keep them funny crazy.
Well, I was gonna say I see my fair share of boobs at Disney. Working at the park, you know, there's the general, you know, you're a lady, it slips out, you're whatever, here and there one pops out. But I don't know if you remember outside.
Does that really happen?
Oh, almost on a daily basis in the summertime.
Like. Denny shook her head no.
Oh, we used to call it Brazil Beach when all the Brazilians would come in.
I won't go to the park with Denny in the summer.
Yeah.
So keep going, Ryle. No, things are popping out.
So out front of the backlot tour, they used to have the Coke bottle. Do you remember the giant Coke bottles? And the top would pop open and it would spray out the steam. Yeah, and what Corey just said, you get, Brazilians are generally a little more freer with their bodies and whatnot. Right. So I don't know how many times I have to say, Miss, could you put your top back on? Because, off comes the top.
Well, taking it off is different than it slipping out.
Well, yeah, I didn't say they all slip out. Some just get pulled out.
Yeah, but, you see some slip outs in the creek, too, at Blizzard Beach. Somebody trying to get in those tubes. They're in, and people don't even realize you have a boob hanging out. And they're just floating. Oh, hey, ma'am.
That water, the wave pool, you have bodies that get thrown onto you sometimes. The next thing you know, you come up for water, and you, God knows what you're coming eye to eye with. So it can be traumatizing and stuff like that. Yeah.
And there's no graceful way to get into those lazy river floats. There's just isn't.
No, especially when you're wearing a itsy bitsy bikini, you know?
Yeah. Not easy.
I don't get those perks anymore. This job does not come with those, you know. I'm just kidding.
I'll just talk to Julie.
Yeah.
FaceTime me after this and I'll flash it.
Yeah,
That's when lifeguarding was cool.
Hey, all right, do you have another one? You said you had a couple.
I do.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Ryan.
The other one was about an accident, so it's not really.
All right. I'm going to ask a favor of you. Let's leave it a little bit light and not do scary ones, okay? Did I lose him? Did he hang up on me?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I've witnessed a lot of scary ones, so somebody else can share.
We were at Candlelight.
Let's see if Denny has one.
Oh, she does.
Hey, do you have a story?
You know, it's funny that you bring up the can of corn one, because I remember you guys telling that story on the podcast years ago, and just the mental picture in my head, I went, oh my goodness. So as soon as you mentioned, this, that we'd be talking about this, that actually popped in my head. And I don't have a crazy story necessarily about nutty behavior in the parks. I have park peeves, that's for sure. I have a list that I may mutter under my breath as I'm walking through the parks going, what are you doing? Like, come on. The greatest of which could be the fact that granted the fireworks are not happening right now on property, but when they are, I am all of 5'2.5". So when I find a spot to watch the fireworks, like, okay, I've assured that this is going to be a good spot. They are literally up in the sky. You can see them. But it's always frustrating when people try to ooch forward and scoot forward and get kind of cut you off and get in front of you, even as the show has already started. And so that's just one of my park peeves as a short person. Like, dude, I have found my good spot. You are fine where you are. Once the whole show starts, you are locked and loaded. Please do not move. Please do not button front, that
however,
kind of thing.
What you should understand, though, is as a tall person,
yes,
you look like a hole in the crowd to us.
Yeah.
We look over there, oh, head, wait, there's a hole in the crowd. So you're the thing we head for. Oh, we're certainly going to be able to see there. And it's usually Denny.
Yeah.
How about you, Craig? Do you have anything? You have any crazy things you've seen?
I have nothing, actually. So nothing worth.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess I don't really pay attention to other people when I'm in the parks. I mean, little stuff I notice. Like, I was complaining last week that, like, now that the parks are completely smoke-free inside the parks, and I was standing waiting to make a boarding group for Rise of the Resistance with, another couple that was maybe 8 feet, 9 feet away from me, and we just see this wave of smoke roll through and smell it, and so you know exactly what it is right away. And I'm like, how bold do these people have to be that in a park that's smoke-free, that they are smoking right there and, like, without shame, when, you know, everyone else that wants to do that, they just bring in edibles, and not that you should do that. It's all illegal in Florida and you shouldn't be doing that. But, like, it just, like, blew my mind. Like, it's go out to the smoking section and do that. Don't do it right in the middle of Galaxy's Edge around everyone else. Be a little bit, don't be as blatant about what you're doing, but just little stuff like that. Yeah, that's kind of like Denny's, more kind of annoying than anything else. Not crazy.
Oh, I have
an annoying
story also, as from, not annoying, I should say. Yeah, it is. Parents who don't read signs. So, like, at Blizzard Beach, there's this area called Tykes Peak. It's like it's been a while. But anyway, there's a T-bar. And it's 8.5 feet deep of water, but you have to be under 60 inches to ride. So it's over my head. It's over everybody's head. And lifeguards hate this spot because you guarantee you're getting wet. And in the winter, there's a fine line between being a coach and a lifeguard. It's like, come on, kick your feet, buddy. No, one arm above. Come on. You can make it. Come on. Oh, I'm going to have to jump in. Damn it. But there's a tube slide, like a flume slide right next to it. Well, this little kid, I don't speak Spanish. So I'm trying to, can you swim? Nods his head, comes down, sinks like a brick. I jump in after him. Well, the parents come in one after another in the same catch pool. I'm the only lifeguard down there. They sink. So I'm literally saving three people on one tube in this 8.5 feet deep of water. And, you know, I pull them out. We have signs everywhere. I'm like, can you swim? 8.5 feet over my head. But that's more of a short story into a park peeve of not reading signs. Like, you know, if I wasn't paying attention, like, you know, say I was occupied with, you know, somebody's boo popping out or something and I didn't see them. But anyway, I'm trying to fill time and trying to keep it lighthearted.
We've got a couple more. Go ahead, Kevin. You tell one of your candlelight story, and then I have a candlelight story I want to tell.
We had a tradition a while ago, a long time ago. Back when Bob was alive, we would always go out to dinner at Epcot and go see the candlelight processional, and that was our Christmas Eve tradition. Well, after Bob died, we did it a couple more times, and one night we were there, and because my mom was in a wheelchair, we would be seated first. And we were all sitting in a row, and John was on my right, and then it was me, and then it was my dad. And there was an empty seat next to my dad, and a very large man, a big, beefy man. And I am not making fun of big, beefy people.
Oh, it's important to the story.
It is important to the story that you know he is a big man. Wearing a Viking hat with horns, comes in and sits down next to my dad and takes his shirt off on Christmas
Eve. This is Christmas Eve. This is not 100 degrees and 90% humidity in Florida.
And I mean, I don't want to make it sound like we had on suits, but it was Christmas Eve. And we had dressed a little nicer to go to dinner, and it was Christmas Eve. And he takes his shirt off. And my father, who was never the subtlest man, turns around and goes to me, "Do you see this?" So somewhere I have a picture. So the cast member comes over and says, "I'm sorry, sir, you have to put your shirt on." So he hangs it from one of the horns.
I think my favorite part was when he sat down and he had horns on, and we all went, "Okay, guy's got horns on. Okay, weird enough." Then he takes his shirt off. But he took the horns off, took his shirt off, and put the horns back on.
Yeah, he wasn't wearing a t-shirt.
Priorities.
This is the look I was going for.
A boob had slipped out. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, more than one.
So, and he's a big, big man, and he's very hairy. So now they came back and they told him that no, he couldn't wear his t-shirt on the horn. He had to put it on. So he put like the neck around it and threw it around his back like a cape. Now, I could not concentrate on anything but this. Mm-hmm. So they finally came over and they said to him, they explained to him that he had to put the shirt back on. It had to be on like it was when he came in. And he got cursing and he got up and left. And it was like 60 degrees in Christmas Eve. We still talk about that.
We love them.
Want to go to Epcot and take our clothes off?
It is pretty hard, though, to put a shirt back on with those horns on, you know.
So well,
he took them off to take the shirt off. Yeah, well, that's good, because he'd have been there forever.
Yeah, are you talking from experience?
Are you defending?
Yeah, you should see what's not in the picture.
Are you taking his side? All right, so my candlelight story is, Pete might have told this story, because I think he was with me when it happened. Going to candlelight, and sitting, you know, a couple rows back, and people all around us. And they get to the point in the Christmas story where they say, it used to be a lot longer. They've shortened it since then, but they used to say, he never traveled more than 20.
I was there with you.
No, this is a different story. I know you've got another story. You can tell that one. So he said, we've never traveled more than 20 miles. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. And it goes on for a little bit more. And the woman in front of us turns to her husband and goes, "Who are they talking about?" And the man snaps at her and goes, "Jesus Christ." And she turns to him and goes, "Well, you don't have to be nasty about it." The rest of the evening was a bit chilly, I assume, for the two of them.
Merry
what are they
Christmas.
Talking about?
We went and saw an actor who had portrayed Jesus in a movie and decided, have you all seen Christmas or the Candlelight Processional?
Mm-hmm.
There's the story of Jesus's life, mm-hmm. kind of the sort of.
Yep.
He decided to do it all in the first person as Jesus.
Oh.
And he got to the point where he said, "I never had an orifice." Mm-hmm. And we got the church giggles. And my friend sitting next to me, she goes, that means no stapler.
No.
And it was just.
He never had an office. I was so sad. He never had Post-its. He never had paper clips.
Where there was no there was no coming back from it. And he kept talking about it like it was him. And we kind of were told to be quiet.
You have to leave now. Rhino, I gave you the list of the ones that people wrote in the comments.
Yes.
Why don't you read one of those for us, please?
So there is somebody who goes by Spinchy, and he says, for my wife and I, it was a cab ride from California Grill to Saratoga Springs at the end of the night. Beautiful evening. So we kept the windows down, driving along at 40 miles an hour. Something came flying in the window and hit my wife. She said, what was that? And I responded, I'm not sure, but I think it was a frog. Sure enough, we found it climbing up the door and looking for a way out. The cab driver was freaking out, mostly because my wife was so calm about it. Man, my lady would be screaming her head off. Why aren't you more upset? Cute little tree frog. Hope it made it wherever he was going after he hopped back out the window. So frog catching a ride in a cab.
Frogs are aggressive in Florida. I'm sorry. We have frogs in our backyard that get loud and just like, they don't care. They're like, sure, step around me. I don't care.
Do whatever you want. We lived in the last house. We didn't have a fenced in yard. So we had to take the dogs out for a walk. And it was my responsibility to do the last walk of the night. So I was out walking them around our little part of the neighborhood. And we had these, we lived close enough to the pool that we were over in that area. And they had these lights that were ball lights. And it was not uncommon to see the frogs on those at night because they were warm. And I was out walking the dogs and I wasn't paying attention. And one of the dogs, the frog, jumped off the light and landed in the middle of my chest.
Oh.
John came flying out of the house. I'm sure he thought I was attacked. Mm-hmm. You know, you're out walking your dogs and not paying any attention. And all of a sudden something jumps on your chest. I was screaming like a banshee.
There,
be aggressive.
There was another story with regarding snakes at Blizzard. We're talking about the frogs, but this is more from probably the perspective of the guest of what they saw, because right before Blizzard Beach opens, you know, the guests line up at one of the bridges. There's like two bridges, and then the park opens and you go in. Well, the park was just about to open, and we had a snake in one of the areas of the park, and so I went to go get it. I grabbed a snake catcher. This thing was huge. I mean, it was yellow, but it was big. It wasn't a snake that I'd normally catch. And we usually call animal services or something, but we had no time. The park was getting ready to open and we had to get this thing out of the park. So I ended up grabbing this snake behind the head. And then, so I'm picking it up and it's wrapping its way down my arm. But I had the only way for me to get backstage was to walk through these guests waiting to come into the park. So here I am with this snake head held high above, you know, as high as I can with it wrapping down my arm, walking through a crowd of guests just ready to enjoy their day at Blizzard Beach in their swimsuits, all lathered up with sunscreen. Like, enjoy your day, folks. Enjoy your day.
But you should have been like streetmosphere. You should have had like, all right, cracky, what can I
do? There was just no way to get backstage at that point. I had to go through the people, but it's probably a story that they tell. You know, like we were waiting to get Blizzard Beach and this guy walks in with this huge, you know, but anyway.
This lifeguard.
It eats the frogs. How about that?
You have one about we stopped to eat and they served Duffy snacks.
We were in Shanghai. I'm pretty sure it was Shanghai.
Shanghai.
And for those familiar with the Magic Kingdom here in Florida, we had stopped in the place that would be the ice cream store adjacent to
Carnation. That's Disneyland.
The restaurant, the
Plaza.
Mm-hmm. So we were at that corner, and there were like six or eight of us, and it was just like, let's have a snack. And it was more of a barbecue restaurant than it wasn't an ice cream store. It was like a barbecue restaurant. So we all went in, and it was counter service. So we came outside, and we're sitting there. And again, there was about six of us. And this very, very beautiful woman in a Duffy dress comes out of the restaurant, out of the line, and she has Duffy and his girlfriend. I I think it's Shelley May. If I'm wrong, please don't write to me. In a stroller. And again, they're like 3 feet tall and they were dressed in their finest. And she set them up in the chairs like she was setting up her elderly mother and father. And she had bought them each a dessert. It looked to me from where I was sitting like flan. However, it was shaped like the bear, like Duffy. Like it was Duffy's face and Shelley May's face. And she laid them out silverware. Now, this woman was probably in her 40s. And she is wearing a fur dress and fur shoes and fur ears. And she lays out all of this. And then she tries to figure out a way to take a selfie of her and the bears and their dessert.
At their tea party.
At their tea party. So she turns around and puts her butt on the table and lays backwards so that her head is between the two desserts. And I was sitting next to a person who travels with us regularly. She's a doctor. And I actually turned around and I said to her, "You have to close your mouth." She goes, "Did you see what she's doing? How could you miss what she's doing? She's laying on this table with her legs in the air, taking pictures of Flan, dressed as Duffy, with bears that had on their good clothes."
She took a big table. She set them all up like she's having a tea party.
So we were fascinated.
Duffy was big. Duffy was big in the Asian parks, for sure.
And it wasn't just Duffy. It was that people were dressed as Duffy. And there, you can buy pretty much any article of Duffy clothing you want. And I'm not just talking like a shirt with Duffy on it. You could buy a Duffy suit. It looked like a man's suit, but it was made out of Duffy fur. I spent the entire time I was there walking around thinking, I don't get it. What are they doing? But they do. They like it. They dress up.
Ryan, I'll read the one from Donna. Do you have that one?
Yes. Donna says, "The worst was a proposal that went sideways and then back again. He was trying to get up the nerve to ask, and she thought he was breaking up. So she started yelling at him and jumped up from the table. And then he was down on one knee. Then she was crying and jumping on him, screaming, 'Yes, yes.' All of the California Grill was watching. If you want to really see a show, grab a snack and drink and people watch."
People watching is definitely the best. I enjoy the fact that she thought she was being broken up on.
Seems like that she can't have much faith in her relationship if she was thinking that she was being broken up, but then he immediately asked her to marry him. I don't know.
Right, exactly. That's a fine line right there.
Yeah.
There was the one more. Oh, read E-Ticket Elizabeth, and that's the one. We'll end on that one.
E-Ticket. Okay. I think my fave so far was when local AP to WDW, she says, took my son on a hooky day to celebrate a great quarter's grades or something like that. She said, "We decided to go to Magic Kingdom, but when we got there, the lot was crammed, so we asked the cast member directing cars to let us head over to Epcot instead. As I stopped to ask him, the lady behind me started honking madly and shrieking, 'I drove 2,000 miles to get here. Get out of my way.' Of course, I was leaving the line anyway, but as the cast member and I shared a shrug and an eye roll, I happened to notice her license plate was from Pennsylvania. Either she rented a car that had a PA tag or she had no concept of distance."
"I drove 5,000 miles.
Yeah.
Get out of my way."
When you're angry, you know, distance doubles, right? Distance and time double, triple, quadruple.
I like the fact that she got held up by a second. And she had us yell out the side window.
We were racing at Chef de France one night, and it was crowded. And even with our priority seating, we had been waiting 20 minutes. And the entire area around the front of the restaurant was just jam-packed with people. You're living in fear that I'm going to tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. And this man walked up and he said, "I'd like to eat here. And I have 4 children and my wife. There's 6 of us." And they said, "I'm sorry, sir. It's sold. We're booked solid tonight." I forget what word, but it was like, no. This man carried on so bad and got so loud and kept screaming, "I have children that are hungry and they want French food." And just kept screaming so bad that they sat him ahead of everybody else in line. That's the end of that story. There's nothing funny about it.
People behaving badly, unfortunately. That is unfortunately a theme sometimes at the parks, for sure.
And I have a story about Chef de France. And if you find me in public someday, ask me about it and I'll tell you.
So can't tell it on the show.
I can't tell you on here.
It's a little dirty. A little off color. All right, guys. Thank you very much for helping me with the conversation and for sharing your stories with me. I really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody at home for listening and watching. And that's it. Bye.
I'm going to order two of those, Corey.
Yeah, those are nice.
Magically bad.
Bye.